Simply Stogie's coverage of the 2024 PCA Trade Show is sponsored by My Old Kentucky Herf, May 11th. Call Fat Ass Cigar Lounge at 606-254-0484 to get your tickets.
Welcome to Simply Stogie's. I am your host, James. Folks, this week we'll end part three of our PCA 2024 coverage. It has been a long, hard road editing this. Like I said, and what you'll hear next week on the Clear the Air with Tim and Nick, over 7 hours of raw interview footage to go through that, cut it down. And I know the last two episodes have been kind of long. So for this final part, I definitely wanted to make it as short as possible. So it might be just a little over an hour with this intro here that I'm recording. But it's been a long, hard road. Lots of fun, lots of tears, lots of editing, and lots of yelling and screaming. But again, some folks that I want to thank. I want to thank Tim. Timothy Allen, host of Clear the Air and my right-hand man, the guy who gets a lot of stuff done around here. He's been doing a lot of the editing on the standalone, videos, that you've seen, which you can go to YouTube, and Rumble or, simplystogies.com, and just under the, media page, media at the top, you can, look at the PCA 2024. We've got all of them there. Facebook, wherever you've watched the videos, like they're all there. In fact, you know, the standalones, that'll be going out that didn't make the cut only for time reasons and time reasons only. You know, Nick had a great interview with Armand from, DAV Cigars and the BCA, the Boutique Cigar Association. There was also, Nick had a great interview with the guys from HVC. We talked with the guys from Vector. God, who else? Mo from Patina. Dean from Epic, like people that Lee from Stolen Throne. There were a lot of folks that just didn't make the podcast this time because of time constraints. But look, and also at the end, you know, there won't be an intro or an outro for this video because I kind of end it with the interview that I did with Shauna and Brian Bolin from A Smoldering Cigar. If you want to see that full interview, because it is edited for time, it is cut way down. If you want to see that full interview, you can go to YouTube and Rumble should be up there today. I'll make sure that it releases the same time as this. But that's a great interview with them, and you get a perspective of a brand of a smaller retailer going for the first time to the Premium Cigar Association Convention and Trade Show. So without further ado, guys, look, what we got coming up on this episode for you is Skip Martin from Aromacraft. Nick talks with John Lorendi from Peter James. I talk with Mike from Pestaña. Then we've got Smoking Jacket, which that's what I'm smoking right now. The mini hanky from Smoking Jacket. I think you're going to hear a little bit about that next week on Clear the Air. Also, Mike from Toscano, Mike Capellini, and then, of course, we end with the exit interview with Brian Bolin and Shauna Bolin from Smoldering Cigar. So I want to thank them. I want to thank our sponsor, My Old Kentucky Herf. Guys, look, I don't know how many more times I got to say this. $225 VIP ticket, over 20 cigars. You're going to meet blenders, principals from around the industry. You're going to have an opportunity to interact with them. You're going to get a lot of cigars. You're going to get a meal ticket, two beer tickets. There are lifestyle vendors there as well. Lots of fun, guys. May 11th, give Dwight and Steven a call at 606-254-0484. That's 606-254-0484. Fat Ash Cigar Lounge, Ashley, Kentucky. My Old Kentucky Herf, May 11th. Luciano Morales, Chef Rick Rodriguez, Sarah Rodriguez are going to be there. My friend, Lou, across from Lure Cigars is going to be there. Guys, Nick Sears is going to be there. My co-host, this is a big deal. Come out, have a lot of fun. This is the premier, cigar event in the Midwest, My Old Kentucky Herf. So big shout out to them. Thank you so much for sponsoring these videos. And without further ado, guys, here's part three. Enjoy. Welcome back, PCA Trade Show 2023, Las Vegas, Nevada. 2024. Thanks, Nick. It's been a long 3 days. 2024.
Well, it is, in fairness, it's the beginning.
Is it?
So I don't know if you still write checks, but we're still trying to figure out.
It is, right? Normally this is July. It's March. Somebody asked me today, what day is it? I think it's July. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm here with Skip Martin, RomaCraft. Skip,
how you doing?
Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
So this show, a little bit different. Las Vegas Convention Center. We've been in the Venetian for a while now. So this is a little bit different. What did you think of the show this year? Was it bigger, smaller, same? What were your opinions on it?
I mean, the main thing for me that I notice is that you can walk from outside with a lit cigar all the way in without somebody harassing you, yes. Which is nice.
Very nice.
So, but once you get inside here, it's kind of all the same. Whether you're here or at the Sands or in New Orleans or in Houston or wherever, it's all the same.
It's all the same.
I don't know if it feels bigger or smaller. I think it's probably not as wide, but longer maybe.
Yeah, everything feels a little more compact, close together.
Yeah.
But it's been a good show, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, we always choose a place way in the back because really we don't really open a lot of accounts and we don't want like a lot of new people coming by saying, tell me about it.
You just want the family.
Right, so we don't have sales reps, for example. So I'm in Nicaragua almost all year. The show for us is like, okay, either you can buy 30 plane tickets and go see all your customers, you know, or you can kind of see them here every year, you know. So for us, it's really about the time we get to spend with them here or after the show.
I saw you were building something down in Nicaragua.
Yeah, I'm remodeling.
You broke out a wall and was rebuilt. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus, he's got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. But you've also got some new stuff. That's coming new stuff. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, so last year we launched Volstead, which was our first new brand in years.
Yes.
This year, and we had to stop making BA and Cro-Magnon because of just wrapper supply problems. So we kind of, for the last 2 years, I've been working on a new Pennsylvania Broadleaf project. It was actually going to be a new brand.
Really?
But once I got closer to launching it and smoking it and everything, I felt like I didn't really want to abandon all the kind of brand equity we had with Cro-Magnon.
Yeah.
Because Aquitaine is Cro-Magnon Aquitaine.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't think of it that way. They just think of it as Aquitaine. But so this is really just like a third Cro-Magnon. It's the packaging is different. It's, you know, it's the same names. But it's a completely new blend. The wrapper's different. The binder's different. Three of the four fillers are different.
But, you know, you mentioned earlier that you're in Nicaragua all the time, and this is the place for you to really have the accounts come in and get some face time with you, ask some questions. How hard is it? Because you're not taking new accounts. You're obviously huge. People go nuts because it's very good. I love the Volstead. It's one of my favorite cigars. How do you keep the hype going when you're not opening new accounts, when you're not coming in? Like you said, you could come in with 30 flights every
year, like I said, it's not about hype, right? It's not about the marketing or the stories or whatever. It's pretty straightforward. We just make really good cigars and we sell them at a fair price. And we don't have to launch and relaunch new brands every other year. We make the same 4, 5, 6 brands. We keep them consistent and they're a fair price.
Let me ask you a question, because it's very successful, wildly successful.
Thank you.
Why doesn't anyone else in the industry follow that kind of program?
Well, I mean, I there's a lot of ways to be good at it, I guess.
Because you have a passion. You focus on the cigar side of it, right?
Well, not very many people want to go live in Nicaragua for 10 years, right? Not a lot of people, they want to keep growing, right?
Sure.
We've been the same size since 2017. You have to invest a lot of capital to buy tobacco to make brands last years and years. There's just easier paths, and a lot of people just prefer the easier path. But a lot of times the easier path isn't the longest path.
Or the best path.
Or the best, yeah.
Yeah, no.
So we do our things our way. I think it's kind of thing, if you think about like craft beer, you know, there's craft beer companies that start with investors that really their goal is to get big enough to get bought out.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's craft beer. Like, I just like making beer. And so I'm going to make 250 barrels a year. And a lot of those are unknown regional beer places. But some of them are, even the small ones that have stayed the same size, are so good and consistently good over time that people who really love beer know about that place.
I've always looked at it as, and correct me if I'm wrong, quality over quantity, because you really get to focus in and hone the craft and perfect it, and then manufacture it and make sure it's consistent year after year after year.
Yeah, I mean, Davidoff makes millions of cigars.
Sure.
And I would say arguably that they have the highest quality in the cigar business. So you can make a lot of cigars and you can make them high quality.
You can.
And you can make a very few cigars and have a lot of problems,
but,
you know.
But how many years has Davidoff been around compared to Roma Craft?
Right. I guess, you know, there's big companies that make good cigars, and there's companies that don't have great objective quality, but they make great tasting cigars. And there's companies that just make derivative average cigars well and poorly, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think kind of what you're saying is, for me to make Neanderthal, for example, it has a lot of different kinds of tobaccos, very specific kind of tobaccos.
Sure.
We have our most popular single size is the HN. I do make about 150 to 200,000 of those a year, or 150,000 a year. Of our 1.2 million, about 10% is that one size, one SKU. I could probably sell a million of those a year, but I couldn't make a million of them a year. For me to make a million of those a year, I would have to grow tobacco, I would have to make 25 million other cigars that I don't want to make in order to make a million of those a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So like Liga Privada, they can make 2 million Liga Privadas, but they have to make a lot of Underground, Nica Rusticas, and Acids to eat the material so that they can get the material to make Liga Privada.
I don't think, right? I think that's something that a lot of consumers don't understand is if you've got the farm, you've got all this tobacco, you got to do something with it. Not every leaf of tobacco can go in every cigar.
Right, right. So you have to make steaks, hamburgers, hot dogs,
yeah,
and shoes,
you, and you
glue.
Focus on steak. That's
right.
What you focus
That's
on.
All we make.
And there's nothing wrong.
It's a lot harder.
It is a lot harder.
And you have to stay small.
Yeah. So you're okay with that, staying small. See, that's,
oh, yeah.
I love that. Because it's all about, it's just the cigar. This
well, imagine,
like
imagine, imagine you just like grilling.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say you like grilling. You're the guy that everyone in the neighborhood goes, oh, we're gonna get Jim to grill this weekend because he's the best.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to buy a little truck and do a little food truck, and I'm going to grill all day. And that's what you love to do.
Yeah.
And just say you do it so well, everybody loves it. Now you got to open a restaurant. And then, you know, before you know it, you're no longer back there grilling. You're buying meat. You're dealing with people who are trying to package your product for grocery stores. You're dealing with the front of the house issues. How do we promote the restaurant? You're not grilling anymore.
No.
Right? So I like making cigars. So we stay the size we are so I could still make cigars.
And, it's great because, you know, we were talking a little bit before we hit the record button and walking around here, and you said, you know, look, I'm just, Mike does it, because I asked you, I said, how'd the show go? And you're like,
yeah, I always say, I make the cigars, Mike sells them.
He sells them. I don't, right, I love that. You're just so hyper-focused on that, and that's why you guys are so good. That's why everybody goes nuts whenever you have a new release or whenever, you know, something comes in that's been out of stock. Like,
right. I appreciate that.
No, that's awesome. So I was talking with Mike.
It's like we always say, you know, that there's a rap lyric says, I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. You
yeah.
know? It's like, I want to be, you know, like if you're a sales rep for General Cigar, it's like, hey, but when I go in a store and I buy a cigar, I buy Aroma.
Yes,
you know what I mean? We're your favorite cigar maker's favorite cigar. You know what I mean?
Exactly who they are. Let me ask you this, just real quick, because we talked with Mike from Pestaña before we came over. He was just very appreciative of all you've done for him and mentoring him. What's it like working with a younger guy, bringing him up into the industry, kind of showing him ropes, and then teaching him how to blend? I mean, I know Nick's story and what it was like for him to learn to blend from, and how appreciative he is for all of his mentors.
Right.
But for a mentor, what's that like?
Well, look, man, you know, blending is not, there's no magic, right? There's no magical tobacco. There's no magic seeds. There's no, it's like if I teach you how to cook, you know, or I teach you, you just have to do it and you have to learn. You know, a lot of people, again, they don't spend enough time around tobacco to get to know tobacco. I just, when I started my project with Ernesto Carrillo last year, this is a good example. So I was turning 50. Every cigar we sell is a cigar we make. We've never had anyone else make a cigar for us.
Right.
But I remembered coming to Nicaragua, not being a cigar smoker, but not really knowing much about how to make cigars or how to buy tobacco or how to process tobacco or any of that. And so I learned, and that helped me kind of get better at what I do. But at the same time, I'm in Nicaragua. So I told Ernesto Carrillo, I said, listen, I want to come make a cigar with you, but it isn't the cigar. I mean, it's only going to be 50,000 cigars,
right,
whatever. But I want to go through the process with you the way I started. But now I'm at a different level. I'm ready to learn more.
Yes.
Right? I'm going from one master that got me to level 10. Now I want to go to level 20 with a different master. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so I'm like, I want to learn, you know, so I show up. And Ernie, very first thing, he's got 8 or 10 cigars rolled, and he says, hey, let's smoke these as a starting point for the blend. And I'm like, no. Let's go look at tobacco. Let's go. I want to learn about, I got a list of 30 regions in Nicaragua and Dominican. I don't know one from the other. So I want to, before this process is over, I want to know the difference between Sanctuario and La Canela.
He wanted to start at level 15.
Well, because that's the way everybody does it.
Yeah.
They're like, let me taste some cigars. You're better at this than me. I don't have time to learn how to make a clock. Just tell me what time it is. You know what I mean? And so I said, that's not why I'm doing this. I want to learn. And then out of that learning, we'll make a product so that we can sell it and pay for the tuition.
Was he shocked when you said that?
No, I don't think so. We've known each other a long, long time. I mean, but I don't think he was ready for that. I think he just wanted to make another cigar, and he was happy to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ready for 8 trips over 2 years. It's like, can we just get this thing fucking done, you know? But I'll tell you, if you smoke that cigar, it doesn't taste like an Ernie Carrillo cigar. It doesn't taste like a Roma Craft. It doesn't taste like a Dominican cigar. But when you smoke it, you go, this tastes... I mean, you go, Roma made this, but also Ernie made this. And it was a real collaboration, and not a lot of there's not a lot of real collaborations.
No, there's really
right?
not.
And so that I'm really proud of it. I mean, it was sold before it was finished. It's gone. We made the money from it, moved on.
Absolutely.
But now all the stuff I learned went into Volstead, went into the new Cro-Magnon, goes into the way I do things at the factory every day.
It's
so.
Really an experience for you, and you learn from those experiences. Integrate that.
And it's the same with Mike. It's like they have a whole different way of doing things, and there's that friction process of I have to approve it for it to get out of my factory with my name on it,
right?
But I have to bend and learn to the way they want to do things.
Yeah, I asked him, because it's going to go out for everybody, but I asked him, I said, have you ever butted heads with Skip?
All
what's
the time.
That like? He's like, oh yeah, all the time. He goes, but you know what, I respect him and I love him, and I think he respects me, and I think he loves me.
Right.
And it's a process, and we work through it. And that's awesome, because you know what? And I know Nick feels strongly about this, bringing young people into the industry and teaching them.
Building new cigar smokers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, at one point, I would say, I walked into a mall, you know, shop that had, you know, Hummels and Precious Moments and bullshit. And had pipes and pipe tobacco. And in the very back corner, they had a little cigar humidor. And there was only 8 or 10 or 15 brands or whatever. And you asked the guy, hey, a guy on my ship smokes cigars. I kind of want to learn about it. Okay, start with this one. And then the next time, it's like, how did you like that? Let's try this. Let me show you how to cut it. Don't be an asshole. Let me show you how to light it. You know, it's like, and then I went from a guy who bought that first cigar. I've smoked 50, 60,000, 70,000 cigars. I've bought tens of millions of dollars worth of tobacco. I've sold millions of cigars. I've been in 5,000, 6,000 cigar shops all over the world. But it all started with Chad Chadburn in the Military Circle Mall selling me my first cigar and then building a cigar smoker.
Absolutely.
And also, you can't take away from all the culture that surrounds it. Whether it was alt.smokers.cigars or whether it was the MySpace stuff, or whether it was you know, Doc Stogie Fresh and Stogie Fresh 5, and learning from that.
Absolutely.
Stogie Review and you know, Half Wheel Now. Two Guys, the Cigar Authority. Those things, that culture that kind of builds a space for you to also grow. That's part of building a smoker too.
Absolutely, and they build.
So
that
you guys
knowledge.
Do part of you guys do a function in that, right?
We were talking about that earlier. Like, do we add value to the industry? I hope I do. I don't know. Only time will tell.
You help provide that space where a guy can grow.
Yeah.
Right.
We try. We do our best. And honestly, it's guys like you who are generous with their time and come and talk to us, talk to the audience, and let the audience get to know you and your perspective that I think helps us do that. And so I'm very appreciative of
you're
everyone's
welcome.
Time, and especially
you're
yours, because I know you're a busy guy.
I'm not that busy here.
You're like, I'm not that
busy. You'll find. I'm not. A guy I really respect asked me earlier. He said, "You want one of my cigars?" I said, "Sure." So he gave me a whole pack of his new cigars, and I'm like, "Okay, I'll try them. I'll smoke them for sure." Because I probably smoke more cigars from other people than most cigar people.
Absolutely.
He goes, "Well, give me some." I said, "Okay." So I come back. I don't have any cigars with labels on them anymore. All I have is Segundos.
Right.
So I bring some Segundos over there, and he gets it. So he's "Oh, this is going to be good." So the sales guy's, "Wait a second, what is this?" And I have this, you know, Celloed unbanded cigar, and I give it to them, and they're like, "What is this?" I'm like, "Listen, you spent 3 days with telling you about how great their cigars were and blah blah blah." I said, "Listen, smoke it. If it could just be like every other cigar you smoked, and then what does it matter? Or it could be really good and you're gonna go, what was that? Then come back over and I'll tell you about it. But I don't really like spending a lot of time. I think the cigars should sell itself."
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I agree. 100%. Right. I'm going to let you.
That's what we're about.
That is exactly what they're about. Guys, if you haven't tried RomaCraft, you've been living under a rock forever. Like, go try RomaCraft. You're not opening up new accounts. Go find where they're at. Skip Martin, RomaCraft.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
I appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course.
PCA 2024, here with a friend of the show, a friend of the industry, and a friend in general, John Lorendi of Peter James. So luxury brand. You may know him for his high-end and high quality humidors and carrying case and such. He came out with some cigars this year, so let's start talking about them, John.
Yeah, let's get into it. This was a 14-month project that started with Luchano Cigars. And it was a project we started that it was more about intention coming from our soul. How do we create something that's truly unique, but that speaks to our core? Which is obviously Peter James, the quality aspect, the component, right?
Right.
It's very much like our cigar cases. It's that artisanal approach. It's not about efficiency and time for profit or margin. It's about how do we slow it down and go for more of that pursuit of perfection. Because obviously it's a handmade product, just like our cases. Perfection is not a sustainable model, but the pursuit of it, that's the fun, right?
Absolutely.
How do we consistently push the threshold of process to make sure that we're doing something that's both unique to the person who's enjoying the cigar, because that's their moment, right? They're allowing us to be part of that moment, and we have to respect that. And that's what comes through in the cigars that we're producing. Obviously, Luciano, people know him, just an incredible master blender. The way that he pairs tobaccos is just, I mean, don't think I'll ever be half that.
You gotta have a passion for
you
sure.
I mean, I love my cigars, I love my blending, but right. I think the partnership and where we thrive is in the synergy that he has that palate, he has that craftsmanship through tobacco, and we have that process-oriented and brand positioning through our marketing and how we speak to our consumers, that elevated approach and experience that really makes this work. And so it came out here through Emergence, which has been so well-received. It's humbling. I can't believe people are just so receptive to it. I'll start with the tobacco that he selected, which is so unique. Let's start with the wrapper. The wrapper is a beautiful 5-year slow age fermented Corojo hybrid Viso. It's from, I'm going to butcher this, I don't know the names very well. But it's south of Quevedo, which is closer to La Loyola, which is that volcanic soil that gives it that richness. The thick is so, the leaf is so thick,
right,
which makes it beautiful for aging. So the cigar count in a 20 box is for that purpose. It's a slow smoking experience, but it gives you that breadth over time that just keeps changing on that experience. And then on the binder, he uses beautiful Matafina. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to come by. I'm not too sure, but it's just adds a bit of sweetness to that Corojo pepper.
Right.
And then on the filler, he went with these 5 to 10 year aged varietal of Dominican, like Piloto Cubano, Nicaraguan Alapa, mm-hmm. and then some American broadleaf. Mm. The smoking experience is just phenomenal. It's complex, medium-bodied, yeah. subtle. But what really, really, really sets the tone is the process. The ability that he gave us to kind of have carte blanche. Mm. Here's your two rolling tables. You guys use your techniques and do what you do. And so we kind of treat it like our own five-star kitchen.
See the lights? I don't get it. What the hell is that about? Hey, can you make sure people don't walk in front of us, man? It's
like, we're talking here.
No, we're trying to do an interview. The guy's just walking.
You're doing an interview with... Why are you doing it with him and not me?
Well, listen, you slow it to the game, son.
Yeah, you know, listen, we try to reach you.
You know what it is? He said he was really disappointed that he didn't make our podcast. So he's like, let's just keep James off to the side. He's working too hard.
So, anyway, sorry about that.
The process, he gave us carte blanche. So here are your rolling tables. You get two.
Right.
And so Adrian and I pick it apart, just like we do with our cases, and said, okay, look, we want this to be slow and intentional. We want that pursuit of perfection. We want to get to a flawless approach for each cigar. So how do we do that? We took it apart. We said, okay, for instance, on our sizes and our tobacco leaves, we don't want to cut any of our leaves. So we're going to size our leaves to the vitola of the cigar. And we're going to try to match that as best as possible. So it starts with like that sous chef approach. Everything is prepared the night before. Mm. It's allotted for only 100 cigars per day. You get 100 in your allotment, all the tobacco sized. They sit there with a sense of enjoyment and purpose with music in the background, slow and steady, and they roll each piece 100. Once they're done their 100, their day is theirs.
Right, right.
And how we give back to them is part of the profits goes back to the people. Has to. We have to have them involved, and that's what makes this truly unique. Further from that is the actual presentation. How do we put that intention back? And for me, I always give that homage to a host, because hosts are truly unique. They're that glue that keeps the family, the friends together. Without them, family and friends don't get together.
That's right. Right.
But so often we're so sort of engulfed in the experience, we forget to just stop a second and say, man, thank you for the home, or the set and setting, or the cigars, the spirits, the food. We're just so involved in the moments, we forget to step back and say, thank you, you know? Right. So that's what this is for.
That's the centerpiece.
The wrap cigar. That is, any cigar in the box is for any guest in the house. Mm. But this wrap cigar, that's reserved for the host. Awesome. That's the special time you sit back and say, thank you for this special moment, for everything that you're doing, and we give that moment to the host. And so this is a kind of been nice the centerpiece.
Nice concept.
Yeah.
So you got three sizes? So
we have three sizes. It comes in a Robusto Extra, or R2 we call it, because mm-hmm. I'm a huge Star Wars geek.
Okay.
And I wanted something that was a little different than Robusto Extra, so we went R2, maybe we'll come up with a D2,
okay.
maybe,
right.
a little all later. Right. And then we went with a Toro Elegance, which is a Toro Extra,
okay.
and then our Sublime, because that's my favorite smoking experience. Mm. So you're going to get something similar, but it's different with each vitola.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And the show's been good for
you? Oh, my God.
Everything's good?
Yeah. I mean, better than
you expected?
Yeah.
People have been saying it's been a good show, good turnout, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot bigger this year than previous years. I think even exhibitor spaces
are larger. And,
everybody's taking on a bigger approach and more spacious approach, which is nice. Energy's great. I mean, Harper's awesome. He's been hanging. He likes the chairs.
Okay. All right. Very good.
So that's good. It's been great. I mean, look, we were slightly nervous about the approach. Obviously, this is our baby. It's been 14 months in the making, so there's bound to be some game day nerves.
Sure, absolutely.
But, man, I mean, you know, everybody's community is just so thankful and grateful, and it's great, man. Energy's been fantastic.
Well, I look forward to trying your cigar.
Yes, sir.
And welcome to the game, my friend. All right, buddy. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Day 3 PCA trade show. Las Vegas, is that where we're at?
Yes.
I forget. It's day
here.
3. I'm very tired.
That's okay.
We're here at Pestaña with Mike. Yes. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the brand for people who may not know, which I don't know how you would know, because you had two cigars last year in the top 25 for a half wheel.
I did. And that was a very humbling experience for me, for sure. You know, I love and respect the guys at Half Wheel. And I think that they're brutally honest when it comes to reviews sometimes.
Absolutely.
So to get a nod, not once, but twice on that list, that was a big one, man. That was a big one. So Postani has been around for about 10 years. We started off with our Habano line. Shortly thereafter, we released our Broadleaf. And then when I was making the Habano, I went back about a year later and my wife was pregnant. So I wanted to make a cigar for the birth of my son. So I made a Connecticut shade Corona Gorda. And I had learned a little bit more about blending and understanding the process at that time. You know, it was a short period of time, but when you're surrounded by awesome people, you can learn quickly. And you have good tobacco makes a big difference. So I blended the cigar, I made 100 of them, and I called them Apollo Dannys. I wanted to name my son Apollo if he was going to be a boy, and Danny was the name if he was going to be a girl.
Sure.
Everybody was telling my wife that the way her belly was sitting was a girl.
They've all got ways to tell, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we're dictating this. So she was very confident that it was going to be a girl. And he was a boy.
Apollo it is.
And I was all for Apollo, but we had to renegotiate terms on Apollo. So we agreed on Justice.
That's a good
and,
one.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, and he is a Justice for sure. So that worked out well. And when I decided to release the cigar, I released the Connecticut Vitola's Toro Robusto Bellicoso Perfecto all last year's show. And then I held the Corona Gorda for this year, this release, and that's the now named Justice. So very excited about it. It's important to me. It's a very special cigar. It's the first one with one of my kids' names on it.
Absolutely.
So I'm very excited about it. And it's a little bit of a powerhouse, man. You know, you try and reinvent things. Like that's what this should be about, right? You know, I think that a lot of people get lost in just making a cigar.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, trying to get something out just to have something out.
Right. And normally, more often than not, those things kind of fall short, right?
Absolutely.
So when I blended the cigar, I blended something that was different, that had never been done. That when you smoke it, you're like, what's going on here? You know, like the quintessential comment when somebody's making a Connecticut cigar is like, it's not your grandfather's Connecticut cigar, right? Like, that's all you hear.
It's all you hear.
Right? Well, I don't believe in that concept. I believe in, okay, how do I take this wrapper and what can I do to make it different? So I gave it a Pennsylvania broadleaf binder. You know,
wow.
I gave it Nicaraguan fillers. And I needed to offset that burn, give it some Dominican stuff as well, right? And man, it's got this flavor that you have never experienced in a cigar. And I'm like, this is what I needed. This is what I wanted. So I love the Toro. It's one of my favorite sizes. I smoke that often. The Corona Gorda is definitely the first and most special.
You kind of went the opposite direction of what a lot of people do with a Connecticut wrapper. It's
right.
Like, well, we want to give it a little oomph. It's not your grandfather's cigar. And you're like, yeah, no, let me show you what's not your grandfather's cigar.
Right. Yeah.
That's a pretty bold move to do with the Connecticut.
Yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a big believer in there. You know, you look amongst the right peers in this industry to become the best in this industry, right? There are guys that are great at marketing and you learn from them, and then you create your own way of marketing. There are guys that are bar none when it comes to blending and creating cigars and tobacco, and I'm fortunate to work with those, with Skip and Michael Rosales, as far as sales, every day. So that makes, I mean, half the hard work is done. Like, I already have those mentors right here. Like, I look at Nick Melillo, and, you know, he's a guy that I really respect when it comes to blending and understanding tobacco. The guy's invested a ton of time. So what do? I look for those guys that respect me, and I create me out of that, right? And I think that any great artist, any great person with talent does exactly that.
You're a student of the game.
Yes.
And you're learning what you can from some of the great. Skip is fantastic, right?
Yes.
And you're looking at what Nick does, but adding your own flavor to it, that can sometimes get a little dicey, right? And so when you're working with Skip, have you ever had a moment where you're like, no, I want to do this, and he's like, no, you should go this way? How do you resolve that?
Well, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, I love and respect Skip. And Skip loves and respects me. So what's great about that is you can have an open argument with a person with that type of mentality, because you know where their heart is.
Yes.
And you know where your heart is.
Yes.
And they know where your heart is. right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we eventually get to the resolve, you know, like he's given me blends and thoughts of like, hey, this is what I'm thinking for this. And I'm like, I like that cigar. It's not a bad cigar. It's not my cigar.
I want my cigar.
You know, it's not what I would have created. So like, I want to create this now. And I can honestly, at this point, I can say, you know, let's do this with a wrapper. Let's do this for the binder. Let's do this. And let me see what that looks like. And I could do that, you know, far away in Florida.
Yeah.
However, it is definitely not the same unless I am there and they go there, boom, blend it, put it together. And then understanding what nuances are going to be gone, where the sharp notes are that are going to deteriorate, right? And like, and that smoothness will come about. Like, and having that experience with him next to me will make all the difference. He goes, well, let's tweak this. What if we did this, you know? So that's really where the road kind of gets, where we kind of mesh together. You know, we definitely have our differences.
But, for sure. I mean, everybody does, right? Yeah. It'd be boring if everybody agreed.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I really want our audience to understand, I think consumers should understand as a whole. It's a very tactile, experiential thing for a cigar smoker to light up a pastaña, sit down and enjoy it. But what they don't understand is they're getting part of that experience that you had going through the process. They're just getting the very best of that experience, of that moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think that they're really getting my vision.
Yes.
Right? Which is the whole thing of what we're doing, right? So that's the most important. Now, I can tell you that, honestly, as far as that vision is concerned, I'm probably responsible for about 30% of it. You know, because I don't know how to identify tobacco. And if I don't have a factory that has already done all of that hard work, procuring, flying to different countries, looking at different balloons, getting to, you know, acquiring all these things and then bringing them to that one spot, I'm lost, right?
Right.
You see people time and time again, like, hey, I just want to make a cigar. They go to a factory, say, here is a cigar for you, you know, and it's just like, oh, I love it. Like, everybody loves their kid.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it. My child. The handsomest child.
It's the best child, the smartest right. child, the most Super beautiful smart, child. Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
So, like, how do you do your best mentally to remove that from the equation and then create something that's fantastic, right? Well, for one, you have to work with somebody that you trust. You have to work with somebody that has access and does all of that hard work, does the curing of the tobacco, takes care of all of these things, has good pairs. You know, not the ones that got drunk the night before. Like if somebody doesn't show up or whatever the case may be, wants to rush through and plug some things and get out.
Yeah,
right?
Like
that happens, you know. So somebody who takes care of their people. So like I'm fortunate enough to work with that factory. And because of that, I have never made a bad cigar. You know, I really feel like I've leveled up with this Connecticut.
I think so. And
Brooks feels the same way. And the guys at Halfway felt the same way. And man, I got a lot of positivity from it. And that was tough. You know, I've never had that much positive. Honestly, I've never.
Really? Because when you guys first, there was so much buzz around Pastaña when it first released.
For sure.
I remember clubs and just people that I know, they're like, you got to try this. This is awesome. You smoke it and you're like, wow, this is something different. He's saying something with this cigar that nobody else has said.
Of course. Don't get me wrong. Like I've received that and I've known that has existed.
Yeah.
Right? Like I know that like the cigar has done well and it has had that demand, you know. But I have never seen the overwhelming reposts and encouragement and the direct messages from my peers, from people that I consider mentors in this industry, you know, from just regular consumers across the board. It felt like another level. And like that was really what was fantastic for me this time.
That's awesome. Congratulations on all the success.
Thank you.
Two in the top 25 for Half Wheel. That's phenomenal. I can't wait to see what you guys do next. Real quick, I want to ask, how long did it take to build that trust with Skip? Because you talked about trust a lot, and you start working with him. Like, how long was it before he trusted you, you trusted him, and now you have this relationship, that mentor-mentee?
I think the rapport originally started because I met them really in their infancy. You know, like I was introduced that brand, Roma Craft, when they had no bands. You know, it was very, very niche. Like you were inner sanctum cigar geek.
If you knew it, you were a cigar geek.
If you know, you know, it was really actually a thing.
Yeah.
Right. So like I had found them, like somebody had introduced them to me and I was like, I need to bring these guys to light. So, you know, you get behind a brand that you believe in and you start to build them up and create that demand. Like at that point, he knows I'm invested.
Yeah.
He knows that he can trust me, that I've never done anything to decimate his brand, you know, to hurt it by deep discounting it in any fashion. So, like, you know, so at that, when I showed up at the factory wasn't at capacity, right? This is before anything else. He was just getting going. I said, I want to make a cigar. He goes, here's some tobacco.
I've had it.
Like, go mess it up. So I messed it up, right? And he showed me where I messed it up. And I'm like, okay, so then I fixed it, you know, and then I had my cigars. So.
Like a good teacher should, instead of scolding you. All right, let me show you where this is at.
He's like, what do you think? I'm like, I think that this is terrible. He's like, okay, what do you think went wrong? You know, and like I messed up with my binder and wrapper. They were the same. Like, you know, I was like, Habano. I'm like, no. You lost so much.
Yeah.
You got to offset.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Guys, if you haven't tried Pastano, you've got to ask your local B&M to bring it in. It's some great stuff. He's got a vision. You've got to try it and just kind of have that moment for yourself where you experience what he experiences and you get that vision. Mike, Pastano, thank you so
Thanks
much.
So much. I appreciate you.
Thank
your
you. Day two PCA trade show here. Hinky Kellner Jr., how are you?
How are you? Well, I go by Hendrick.
Hendrick Kellner
Jr. Hinky's the boss, the father.
Yes. So we talked last year, and this is a real family affair.
It is.
We talked last year about you making a cigar for your dad, legend in the industry, and you're a legend now in your own right. But this is a family affair this year. You've got your younger brother to your right.
Yep.
You've got your son to your left.
Exactly.
And they actually started blending. With you.
That's right. You know, in the Hinky line, there's only one cigar, which is the Toro, the Hinky. And now what happens is that my dad, I give him his favorite cigar, but it's always too long. I don't have time. I like something smaller. So I say, I need an extension of the Hinky line and I need a smaller cigar. So let's do something smaller for what he smokes now. And I had the idea to bring my son, Hendrick, and my younger brother to create the whole concept of the mini Hinky. I'll let them explain what the mini Hinky is. This is the mini Hinky.
So I will start. Is there no problem?
Okay.
So my dad assigned us this project in honor of my grandfather, Hinky Kellner, to produce a small cigar because with the time he's preferring shorter cigars, shorter smoke, and that's why we arrived to this size, 46x4. It had 100% tobacco from our family's farm. It has tobacco from my grandfather's farm. It has tobacco from his sister's farm, my aunt, Monica.
Good afternoon, everyone.
I'm very thankful for the opportunity that my brother has given me to again work with you, Hendrick, my nephew. And it's really like a family affair with my sister's Monica's tobacco. It has the Yamasa wrapper and a binder from Kutui, and it really gives you this medium-bodied, very flavorful cigar that has gone through the quality control of my brother. Has been accepted by my father, thankfully, and of course has gone around the whole family to get the family blessing. It's such a great opportunity, and very happy to be able to work on this.
So I have questions.
Yeah.
Because I could never, ever work with my family on any level.
All right.
So I'll start with, and it's funny because when I talked to Tamara, who set all this up, she said, not only do we have Junior here, we have Junior. What's it like working with your dad?
Well, working with my dad, for me, actually is a good opportunity for me to knowledge, to get all what he's done for the industry. And it's like a family knowledge that my grandfather gave him to him gave him to me, and do it better, doing it my way. So for me, it's a pleasure to work with him. For sure, we have we don't have the same idea as always. We kind of have little fight, but that's good because we're not the same. That's good, and we don't think the same. And for me, it's a pleasure to work with my dad. For sure,
yeah.
So, and I'll ask you in a second because it's a much different dynamic. Yeah. but he says you fight. It's not like a...
No, no, no,
it's a difference of opinion.
Yeah, opinion, yeah, yes, of course. You know, as a young man, he wants to run.
Yes.
I tell him, no, walk or crawl, then walk, then run, and then you fly. Because this this business is all by hand.
Yes.
It's not a machine. You press a button and many cigars come.
That's
and
true.
We our main thing is to ensure quality, not quantity.
Yes.
So we want to be the best at what we do. We want to offer the best cigars possible. And this takes time and you have to be careful. And it's normal to want to, you know, go for it immediately, but you have to take the steps. And this is my job. And for us, I'm very proud that this cigar came out like this. And they did a great job, but it took time, you know. First, what is the right thing? First, what we should do? What does the old man, Hinky, likes? And what tobaccos in the family we can put in? And they did all that. I just went like, a little bit this way, a little bit that way. But they did
for sure.
It.
More of a guiding hand. Exactly. And not so much, I'll do it this way. Uh-huh. It's just, let's move this way, this way. I like that approach.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what was it like working with your older brother? You told me earlier it's more of a mentor kind of relationship, which I did not mentor my younger brother at all. So what was that like?
I mean, this is such a unique and different experience. Like, of course, growing up in the industry, you grow to love everything about tobacco. You know, you run around the fields, you're always around the factories. But doing this was a completely brand new experience. This is smoking one tobacco, like just the Yamasa tobacco by itself. And how does that taste? And then how can you, like, what goes well with that? And it's complete new learning experience doing that. And it's...
Let me ask, were you more nervous, both of you, presenting the final product to your dad, your brother, or to your grandfather? Like, which one was it you were like, who are you more nervous for their final verdict?
What do you think, Andy?
I mean, I think they guided us along the way. We went through a lot of trial and error. There are many different blends that we could have gone, and we kind of went this or that. What can we tweak about this? So it's definitely like a step-by-step process. And
so
it's great.
No nerves at all when you finally done it. You're like, they think this is it.
Well,
no,
for me, it was actually both, because the purpose on this was to make the best for the two masters that we have,
yes,
my grandfather and my dad. So that's why we need to put all the effort possible to get you guys, the best cigar possible, and for sure to make proud our family.
Well, I think you're very proud.
Oh, yeah, I'm very proud. Very as you can see, the box, they are the blenders right there.
Yeah,
you made sure to put them on the boxes.
Oh,
of blenders.
Yeah, and sign it, you know. For
we signed a few,
yeah. But, you know, the thing is, we gave it to my dad, Hanky. Like, this is what we come up with. And he goes, oh, what is that? No, it's a small cigar for you. Huh? What's that? Mini Hanky? Why mini? I don't like it mini. I said, no, you'll see. It'll work. It'll work. It's like the mini guys, the Hendrik and Hendrik, mini Hanky for you, small cigar. And then he goes, okay. but the cigar he loved. So.
He loved the cigar, not so much the name. I love that.
But now the name is catching on.
It's catching on. It's growing on him a little bit.
For sure, yeah.
What was it like for you working with the next generation? Because I'm sure for you, you grew up in it just like your son did, just like your younger brother did. What was it like to bring up this next generation and kind of guide them?
For me, I thought it was a smart idea to get them involved in this project, because what it is, because the name, and it's for them the first step into the industry. Not only the blend, developing the boxes, the bands, the idea you have and with it, what it comes out, and then the tweaks you have to do.
Yes.
It's a whole process that they did very well. So I'm very proud of them. And this cigar has been extremely successful. People love it. So what more can you expect?
No, absolutely.
I'm very, very happy.
I'm very happy for you guys. I hope the both of you continue to learn and have great success.
Yeah, for sure,
just like your father and your grandfather. Thank you so much for your time. We're going to get the three of you on the podcast, I promise, very soon. because I'm always intrigued by these family affairs that grow up in the legacy of your dad's a legend.
Yeah.
Your dad's a legend.
Yeah. The real legend is Hinky. We're just trying to follow.
But in your own right, you are. And now you're bringing your son up into it.
And you know, this is our business, cigars. Before the boom in the 90s, this is what we do. In the bad times, in the good times, for us, we live, it's in our blood, just to make good cigars for people to enjoy. So that's it. And that's what I hope these two young men here continue when we are done with this, you know.
Yeah.
But it's something that never leaves you. The desire to blend tobaccos, give special tobaccos for people to try. And it's what we do.
No, it's in your blood. It's a passion that you all have. Very happy to have this conversation with you. I can't wait to dive deeper with you guys here in a month or two. Stay tuned for that, guys. If you have not tried Smoking Jacket, you are missing out.
Yeah.
The mini hanky. Look for it. If your B&M doesn't carry Smoking Jacket,
you should
ask for it.
Yeah.
Bring it in. Great cigars for the Kellner family. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Simply Stogies here at the Toscano booth, PCA 2024 Convention and Trade Show. I'm here with Mike from Toscano. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I'm fired up to be here.
Let's talk about Toscano.
Yes.
Because that's not a brand that a lot of Americans in the market go, oh, I need to go get that Toscano.
That's correct.
You guys want to change that, and you should change that. Talk about your history.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, when you look at Siglo Toscano as an American consumer for the first time, I mean, you know, it's a little scary to some people, right? I never say ugly, I say rustic, and that's how I describe our cigars.
Great descriptor.
Yes, it's a very rustic cigar. But once you understand the story behind Toscano, once you understand what goes into our tobacco, once you smoke it, discussion changes almost immediately, right? So we're talking about a company that started, the very first Toscano cigar was rolled in 1815. And it happened by accident. We call it the massive disaster, right? So essentially, we had harvested a bunch of tobacco that was from Kentucky, Tennessee seed outside of Florence. And after the harvest, rain came and soaked our tobacco. So for those of us that know tobacco, wet tobacco is not smokable tobacco.
Correct.
We were just having a discussion about wet tobacco before
we started the interview.
So then the tobacconist had to figure out what to do with it. They let it sit in the sun. So natural fermentation started to happen. So then it started to stink of ammonia. I really upsell the cigar, by the way, in the first 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
And then the neighbors complained about the ammonia smell. So finally they said, listen, let's just put a fire underneath it. We'll put it in a barn. We'll drape the tobacco over the strings in the barn. Maybe that'll make it pliable. And sure enough, that was the day in August of 1815 that really and truly brought Siglo Toscano to the power that it is today. And then 3 years later, they started to mass produce it for the entire peninsula of Italy. And last year, we ended the year in 34 different countries, 235 million plus cigars sold for Toscano. So we're not small. So that's the first thing I hope the American market starts to understand also.
That's what you have to understand. They are a legacy company of the highest order. There are not very many tobacco companies or cigar companies that can say we've been around.
Yes, that's
since
true.
1850.
I mean, listen, the cigars themselves, when I talk about Toscano, you're not talking about tobacco. You're talking about historical significance. These cigars lasted two world wars. Literally, Italy was involved in both world wars, and these cigars lasted through two world wars. They lasted bombings in Tuscany. I mean, it's just such a historic and a stoic cigar. It's really something special.
And it's something that doesn't need to be humidified.
Correct.
You can keep it in your glove compartment, in your car, wherever. I absolutely love these. And I'll be honest, when I first started my cigar journey, I thought to myself, what the hell is this?
I get it.
But when you smoke one, you're like, oh,
that's
I get it.
Well,
I get it.
And that's the thing, too. Like, it's a nice cigar. It's a different change of pace smoke, right?
It is.
And one of the nicest things about Siglo Toscano, let me take a step back. One of the things I want everybody to understand that watches this, even though you don't need a humidifier cigars, that doesn't nullify the quality of the tobacco in any way. We use La Herrera and Viso tobacco. The reason you don't have to humidify it is because of the water curing and the fire fermentation.
Right.
So it almost locks in those nutrients and oil that you have to keep humidified, right? So that's number one. But then number two, the other great things about Toscano is it creates smoking experiences.
Yes.
It's an opportunity to really, I always say about our industry, it's a great industry where you can sit down and you're all on a level playing field no matter what.
Absolutely.
So Toscano brings that to another level because we call this cigar Il Sigaro dell'Amicizia, or the cigar of friendship in Italian. So you could take a Toscano cigar, cut it down the middle, and share it with somebody that doesn't have a cigar.
Which I have done. Yes. The cameraman is smoking half of one right now.
That's it. I mean, and that's another beautiful. What other cigar in the industry can you do that with?
Not very many.
Right?
So not very many.
And on top of that, the unique flavor profiles, the very rustic, the very earthy tones that you get from Toscano.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Because smoking, this is the new one, the Italian.
Yes, the Italian.
The Italian. I'm getting the same flavor notes that I typically do from a hand-rolled premium cigar. Yep. It's full flavor. There's spice, and there's that, obviously, that fire-cured kind of, but it's more than that. It's still complex.
It's very...
And nuanced.
I use that word all the time to describe our cigars because they're simplistic looking, but they are some of... And listen, I'm the brand ambassador, so I'm supposed to say this.
Say it.
But you brought it up.
I did.
The complexity of our cigars is really... It takes people back. When they can't believe the flavor profiles that's on it. And that's kind of something we live by at Toscano. We always say that whatever Mother Nature gives the tobacco, we give directly back to the consumer. Because it's all natural. It's water fermentation, fire cure with actual wood.
And you're
wood.
Locking it all in, like 100%. You said. So it's exactly 100%. The way Mother Nature intended.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, how are you trying to change the hearts and minds of American cigar smokers? Because America is the largest... By far. Even in Italy, it's like we just destroy everybody as far as numbers.
Yes.
So how do you get that market share? Because these are great cigars, and I feel like a lot of people are missing out.
They are. So one of the biggest things, to me, it's twofold, right? The first thing is education. You have to educate the consumer, the American consumer, on who we are.
Yes.
Because like I said in the very beginning, when somebody walks into a cigar shop, your local retailer or anything, you're not going to think, oh, I'm going to go get a Toscano because of what we look like. Right? And I get it. I'm just being honest.
No,
that's
I get
how it is.
It.
But education helps overcome that initial hurdle. When people hear, and that was just a little bit of what we could talk about for Toscano, but when people hear who we are, who smoked it, I mean, listen, we have a cigar named after Giuseppe Garibaldi, the hero of two worlds. The guy had this blend of Toscano in his pocket in the 1800s. When he met Vittorio Emanuele III, he cut the cigar in half, they smoked it, and at that moment, the Italian peninsula was unified.
Wow.
I mean, there's just so much behind it. But that's number one, the education. And then the number two, in my opinion, is giving everybody an experiential pairing session with Toscano. And that's my job. That's what I do. As brand ambassador, I have the immense pleasure and honor to go around and meet amazing people throughout the country, throughout our industry, by drinking and smoking cigars with them.
It sounds like a tough job.
Yeah,
it's
my wife
terrible.
Loves it.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I bet. Your wife probably loves it about as much as mine does.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's what we do.
That's
what we do. We have a passion for it.
That's
and look, Toscano has a passion for this. If they didn't, they wouldn't have been around since 1815. Guys,
correct.
You've got to try this. Can you talk about the blend in the Italian?
Yeah, so it's very similar to the Garibaldi, but it's a wider ring gauge cigar. So the wrapper on it is Italian tobacco from Valtellina Toscana. And the filler is a mixture of Valtellina tobacco and Benevento tobacco.
Okay.
So in Italy, just to put that into perspective, in Italy, our tobacco comes from five different regions. Veneto, Umbria, Toscana, Lazio, and Campania. Those are the five regions. You don't have to say them. You don't have to repeat them.
I can barely speak English.
Me too, actually. Sometimes I speak better Italian than I speak English. But, you know, the blend of this, it's really nice. Like you said, it's complex, but it's not overpowering.
No.
And the Benevento tobacco has a lot to do with that. So in Italy, we fire cure with oak wood, right? Here in the United States, it's more hickory. The oak wood itself is really, it produces a very creamy, light sensation to the tobacco. But Benevento tobacco is very particular because our fields lie within the shadow of Mount Vesuvius.
Oh, wow.
So after the eruption in 79 AD, changed the soil composition completely.
Absolutely.
So it makes the tobacco a little bit sweeter, a little bit lighter.
Well, everyone always talks about the soil composition when it comes to Nicaragua and Cuba. It's just as important here.
Oh my God.
And it's the same type of volcanic.
Absolutely.
So there's, you're going to get the same flavors, guys.
Yeah.
And you know what? Cut it in half. You got a nice little 30, 45 minute smoke while you're driving or while you're doing whatever.
Yep.
It's absolutely perfect.
Yep.
I would love to get you on the podcast.
I think that'd be
sit
great.
Sit for an hour, find out about your history, how your just cigar journey started, and then really dive into Toscano. Mike, I appreciate it. Guys,
pleasure was all mine. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. Go try Toscano.
Buona fumata.
Welcome back, day four of the PCA 24. There's no day four. We're here at day minus one, I guess. It's the day after the trade show. I'm tired. I'm James. You guys know that. And I'm here with our friends from Smoldering Cigars, Livermore, Iowa. Words are hard. I've been talking literally nonstop for 4 days.
I don't know what the difference is.
Neither does anybody else. Okay. The can rattles the most.
Okay.
It's Brian and Shauna Bolin, Smoldering Cigar. Guys, thanks so much for taking the time to come over to the Mild Kentucky Herf bunker here for the trade show. I appreciate you guys taking the time to do that.
Oh, you're welcome.
You guys are supporters of ours, and we're supporters of you guys. In fact, we'll be there June 1st for your Martinez event.
Yep.
Looking forward to that.
Super stoked for that one.
Yeah. And, you know, you guys probably just got done watching the interview with Jesus from Martinez Cigars. Great cigars, great people.
Great people.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're here because Michaela from Pop Smoke Cigars, Audis, her and her family took off on Sunday, and we weren't able to get with her to kind of get her final thoughts on the trade show and kind of what she thought. It was her first trade show. She's a young woman coming up, like you guys, as a retailer. And so, Brian, this was your first PCA trade show.
Absolutely was, yeah.
So we didn't want to leave that open-ended, and I thought, who better to give us their perspective?
Wait a minute, so we're a substitute? Jesus!
Shauna.
Way to make me feel special.
Shauna's a substitute. Brian's not. Brian's always welcome here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Brian, for your first trade show, did it hit every expectation that you had going in?
Absolutely. I think so. I think it was well put on. I think the PCA did a great job with the layout of the floor. I never got lost at any point throughout it. It was very helpful.
That's saying something.
Multiples of bathrooms. I mean, I drank, I don't know how many gallons of water. You know what I mean? Because you're always walking and walking and talking and smoking and all that stuff. So I thought it was good. I thought the seminars at the beginning, day zero, however they say, you know, when you go in there, I thought they were very informative. I learned some stuff out of it, got to help me get ready to go into the actual convention, you know, to the trade show itself. For being my first time, I didn't feel really overwhelmed, but I felt connections, which is, I think, is what they're trying to get at, and I felt that was more important to me. Obviously, there were some days and some times where, you know, it was very hectic for people. We tried to keep our schedule pretty open so that could happen, you know, so it was more relaxed on our end than it probably was for our reps or the people there meet, because they're trying to sell and move, and we're trying to talk. But for a little store, I didn't feel like we got lost in the shuffle.
In the shuffle. So, Shauna, this was not your first trade show. You were here in 2022. Can you kind of compare the two for everybody at home as a retailer?
As a retailer, we had only been open for about 7 months at that time. And mm-hmm. So I came to see what it was about. And I came with my sister, and we just kind of walked around, and we didn't have very many cigars at the time. And I am brand new into cigars. And so I really wanted some samples from people so that we could decide whether we wanted to bring people in.
Yeah.
Because he's very picky about the cigars that he takes. I liked this year better, simply because I had already experienced one, so I kind of knew what I was doing. And he was here with me, so he could make the decisions on what we did and how we did it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Let me ask you this, Brian. Michaela had said, and you know, she's a young woman coming up into the retail space, and I asked her what her expectations were. And it was, I mean, she's not wrong. It's a lot of old white guys smoking, right? But it's not just that. And I think your wife is proof of that. Did you see a lot of?
I did see a lot of diversity in it. Yes. And I was very happy. I'm a big supporter of the, like, women smoking. I think that is very important in the fact that, I mean, like in our lounge, you know, it's like always like a plus one. And so if you make it feel great for the wife to come in, and maybe she kind of smokes, doesn't smoke, but, you know, if you make her feel good about doing it, then, you know, that just, it, 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 has more of a camaraderie between the two, and I'm all for that. So I'm all for them doing it on their own and feeling they're in a safe space that they don't have to worry about being, you know, whatever, and enjoy it just like how we do.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the diversity of it I thought was great, and I didn't think it was like it was all over the place. You know, I mean, it was all sorts of different people and all sorts of different classes and everything else, and they all seemed to mingle very well. Like I said, I mean, I thought it was put together very well for my first time. I mean, it was good, and it was good. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I liked that part of it. I thought they did a better job of promoting that.
Were you surprised, Brian, by the amount of FaceTime you got? I know you talked with guys like Pete Johnson, George Padron, Carlito Fuente. Were you surprised that you got that much FaceTime?
You know, I really was. What excited me the most was that for the ones that I didn't think would give me much time, William Newman from J.C. Newman. I mean, we spent...
Bobby Newman,
yeah. We spent, I bet, 45 minutes. And it wasn't even talking about cigars. It was just, you know, random.
But isn't that the best?
Yeah, random stuff. Pete did the same thing to me. He was actually talking to somebody else. He saw me. I was waiting patiently. He came over, and we were talking, and it was great. He just started telling me stuff that was happening to him in his personal life, like we were just neighbors, you know, like... same with, you know, even when you get into the, you know, George Perdone, I mean, he took his time. He was in no hurry, you know, and he knew that there was, you know, that we were small. We made sure that we let him know that, hey, man, we're not trying to, I feel that time is very valuable for people, and I don't want to ever waste it. And, you know, he was, you know, no hurry.
Did you think it was very well attended? I know for your first...
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think it's hard to... The convention center was a much bigger space, I think, the way they laid it out. So I don't know if you could... I don't know what the numbers would be. But I thought it was extremely attended. You know, Saturday was just bustling. And even that day, you know, to go back to your other question you asked me, even on Saturday when we were busy, there was... David Blanco and that I talked to, and you know, and he's got a smaller booth, so he didn't have as many people to watch, and he still took some time. His dad took some time to talk to me. It was great. Martinez, you know, they took time to talk to me. There were some, you know, I got to meet Jesus, which is the owner of Martinez, you know, and he took his time, and that was on Saturday, and that was, you know, that's busy. I mean, they're trying to maneuver and make sales. They're trying to do their thing, and I'm just really trying to make a connection. I felt that was my most important thing when I went to this trade show, was to try to make a connection, because we are small, and that the volume of what we're going to buy is probably way smaller than what normal people would be. But we're growing, we're small, and I needed that connection with them so they understood it.
Shauna, let me ask you, did you feel, because, you know, he's kind of the face of the place, but when you walk into your lounge... And you're there. You are the ultimate hostess. You make sure everyone's got a drink, everyone's taken care of, everybody is happy and content. They have everything that they need. Did you ever feel any manufacturer just focus on Brian and not on you? Or did you feel like it was, we're both at the booth and we're both getting FaceTime and being able to...
It was absolutely both.
Good.
Absolutely both. They did not disregard me just because I was standing there.
It would be very hard.
It is very hard to disregard me, but I don't have as much knowledge as he does about the cigars. I just don't smoke as many as he does. He researches.
Yeah, he does it, but they didn't hold that against you.
They still did not disregard me, no.
Good. So you had a good time. You thought it was really a good event.
I feel that the FaceTime that we got with certain manufacturers was pivotal to our store. I believe that it could actually change the face of our store, the way that I was able to connect with some people, with the ability that we now have and the connections that we now have. And I know that he was fairly reluctant to come to the PCA because he didn't think that FaceTime would make that much of a difference. He just assumed, like we all do, because to us, these guys are superstars.
Sure.
I mean, George Padron, he's a superstar. it's like Brad Pitt in the real world. And he still did not disregard us. He took the time to talk to us. He didn't care how many cigars we sell or sold. He was still happy to have his photo taken. And, you know, I feel like a cigar junkie and a cigar groupie because I'm like, oh my goodness, do you know who that is? Can I have my picture taken with you? Yay!
Do you think it's a cultural thing? Because I feel the same way sometimes. And I think sometimes folks conflate that with, oh, well, you're intimidated by these guys. And I'm not intimidated by them. I don't think you are either. It's their time is important. Who am I to come in?
Yeah.
You know, and take away that time. Do you think it's a cultural thing just because we're both from the Midwest and Iowa?
A little bit of a cultural thing. I also think that for me, you know, like when I was very reluctant, I be honest with you, man, I didn't really want to go. I honestly thought it would be almost a waste of my time when you're talking about the you know, the big pool of our retailers that, you know, buy 10,000 boxes at a time, and, you know, and then you come to us and they're like,
can I have one box?
You know, it's maybe a little bit of embarrassment when it comes to that, but no, I mean, it could be a culture thing, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
they put their pants on the same way
we
do, I think.
But it's just like any other group. I mean, you know.
I don't think there's not people waiting on them hand and foot. I get that there's celebrities in what we do.
Yeah.
You know, and they certainly they want that kind of facade. They want people to think that. But when you get to know them, did you get – because Pete Johnson would be the closest thing to a legit rock star that the industry has. He didn't act like that with you guys.
No, not at all. And that one I was probably the most surprised with, just because of...
he's a super nice guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Just because that, you know, you just... the crowd that's always around him, and that he stepped away from that crowd because he just saw me standing over there and then just came over and talked to me. And we didn't even talk about cigars. Didn't ask me what I was buying or what I was doing or what I was... Nothing. We just went into, hey, you're from Iowa. And you're right. I mean, Iowa people, I mean, it's different. You live in Iowa, everybody's your neighbor, pretty much type finality. So, I mean, I'm used to that kind of thing. And then when you get into that world, you just think we are, you know, on a different scale. They're way up here with the amount of people that they may see or meet than we do. You know, I mean, what? 40 people a week or something like that, you know, I mean, compared to what they do, you know. And,
oh, sure.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I thought it was very well done, and I thought the booths were spread out just enough to create a good path that when you were trying to think about what you just did, I didn't have people jumping on me saying, hey, man, try my cigar, whatever. I was able to walk and think about what I just saw and
did. Is that what you thought it was going to be like? They were just going to be lined up and they're like open up their trench coat. Try one of my cigars.
Yeah, I really did. I really thought it was going to be a lot of...
pressure sales?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot.
It's bad. This is, you know, those of us who've gone for a few years and been in and around the industry, we know that this is a big party. This is the one time of year that folks like you, small retailers, large retailers, medium retailers, really get an opportunity to kind of rub shoulders with these guys, get a lot of FaceTime.
Yeah.
And they understand that. And they know, even with the media, that's kind of the deal. There's a couple things that I want to say before we end this episode. First, thank you so much, guys, for watching. Without you guys watching at home, coming here would be a waste of time and money. And it's not a waste of time and money. The people we meet, the friends we make, like Brian said, the whole networking piece is priceless for us as Simply Stogies, and for us as you know, lovers of cigars and aficionados and enthusiasts. It's very important for us. So thank you guys for your support. Thank you guys for your monetary support.
Absolutely.
Like, join the LE Club, simplystogies.com, LE Club. You can join, register, $10 a month, $100 a year. And you can jump on a live once a month with us, with these two, if they ever jump on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And say hi, talk with us. Whatever. But I also want to thank.
Is it on Instagram?
No, it is not. It's on YouTube. She's totally derailing this whole thing. I also want to thank the crew that came with me, Tim Allen, who is the host of Clear the Air, and the IT guy, and the camera guy, and the content director, and the guy that I usually yell at way too often. I want to say thank you to him. Thank you to Randy Carmichael for coming around, schlepping equipment. Nick Sears, my co-host, my friend, for coming and helping us kind of get FaceTime with some of these guys that we may not otherwise get FaceTime with, and adding some legitimacy and being very gracious and generous with his assessment of what we do. I also want to thank Eric Lemire for coming, schlepping equipment with Randy, and kind of just adding some laughter and some levity in situations where I literally wanted to bang my head against the wall. So thank you to my entire team, Ryan Nias, Carly Dawson, Michael Gouge, for everything that they do for us throughout the year, doing reviews and helping me keep my sanity. But a special thank you to our sponsor for this, without who this would not be possible, for without whom, I think is the proper English. It's fine. I can't speak English either. Mile Kentucky Herf. Guys, May 11th, Mile Kentucky Herf. Ashland, Kentucky, Fat Ash Cigar Lounge. Dwight, Stephen, and Tim, they do a great job. Dwight and Stephen work very hard to put this on. A lot of retailers, they've got something special in the works. I can't talk about it, although I know what it is because I was told this weekend what it was. I'm very excited for it. You guys should be very excited for it. And they're a lounge a lot like Smoldering, where you walk in, you are family. And it's just awesome. May 11th. Look, if you get your tickets before April 1st, if you didn't get them by the time you're watching this, it's too late. $225. You get two drink tickets. You get a meal ticket. You're going to meet a lot of principals and blenders, including Nick Sears from LH Cigars, Luciano Morales, Luciano Cigars, Chef Rick Rodriguez, and I'm going to assume Sarah Rodriguez will be there as well, from West Tampa Tobacco. Gusto Aurora, JRE. I'm trying to think of this all off the top of my head. There's a ton of people.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Fortaleza Libre.
That's a lot of talking.
Greg
all
Free. Guys, if you're not there, you're missing out. It's one of the best events of the year. It's my favorite event to go to all year. I hope to see you there. May 11th, give Fat Ash a call. Get your tickets. VIP, if they're still around, $225. And ask about the dinner the night before, and they may be able to give you some information. Otherwise, guys, thank you so much for watching our coverage of the PCA 2024 Convention and Trade Show, sponsored by My Old Kentucky Herf. Until next time, stay smoky, friends.